Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Ah, the announcer is wrong. It's not Tim Wildman. It's Fred Jackson sitting in for Tim Wildman today, along with my good friend Abraham Hamilton. Abe, good to have you with us.
Glad to be here, Fred. How are you?
Oh, not too bad at all. The regular gang is away this week. Everybody's at the Cove, that great meeting that AFA puts together every year. And I understand a solo crowd at the Cove going to be there listening to some great speeches from some great people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we gave Tim and Ed permission to attend, Abe.
Just a little bit. A little leeway for them.
They'll have a great time there. They will. But this is Miracle Monday. Miracle Monday, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We'd like to hear your stories, folks, on what God has done in your life in the way of a miracle. And I've tuned in a number of times to hear the stories, Abe, and it's just miraculous how God has moved in people's lives and whether health issues or financial issues.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the reality, Abe, is that life is a miracle.
Mm.
It is. You know, each day, and we forget it. We take it for granted many times. We get up in the morning. We can put our feet on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
That's a miracle. Life is a miracle.
It really is.
You know, I took biology and chemistry in university. And, of course, one of the things you study is the heart. And isn't it amazing? And I'm getting up there about six decades into life here. And, you know, how that heart, there's not a machine that you can think of that man has made that could keep going 24/7 for over 60 years. Stop and think about that. So your heart, the fact, the next time you think, well, God hasn't done a miracle in my life, put your hand over your heart. And that thing has been beating for years, for decades. God is so good. He's in the miracle business every day.
He absolutely is.
Yeah.
He absolutely is. And it's so easy to become somewhat familiar or to become oblivious to God's miracle working power in our lives by allowing, you know, the cares of this life and the different things we all go through it. We all have it. But it's important, which is why I'm glad we get to do this Miracle Monday. It's important to stop and reflect on exactly how good God has truly been in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I love when the scripture says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And not to go too deep in the weeds on, you know, exegesis, but that overcoming personally by the blood of the Lamb is obviously the most tremendous miracle we all can experience. But in addition to that, you know, placement in God's family, in local assemblies and in the body of Christ globally, it's critically important that we don't minimize the importance of conveying our testimonies.
Mm-hmm.
Because so often the Lord places us in relationship with people who may be in different places. Sometimes with new converts, they may not have a long history in relationship with God, and you never know how other people may need to be strengthened by the testimony that God has made you all to be. You know, I like to say that God has made me a testimony. I just get the opportunity to tell it from time to time. But we are living testimonies. And so the encouragement is not to minimize the importance of the testimony that God has made you and I to be, not only for our personal benefit, but also to the benefit of those who are around us.
Miracle Mondays, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. You've got a story to tell us today and to tell our audience about what God has done in your life, what he is doing in your life. And you know, as I say, many people many times don't even consider it miracles, Ed, when something has happened in their lives, and we're slow to realize it sometimes. But this is your opportunity to do that, 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. You know, a lot of people, Abe, I think right now thinks America needs a miracle in the situation that we're in. We were talking about that at Sunday school yesterday about the situation that we're in. And it's related right back to where we are spiritually as a country.
Absolutely. We do need a miracle. We do need a miracle. you know, people talk about, and it's not just about voting, but oftentimes you can see what happens with the vote. I mean, it's been discussed how, you know, in 2008 and 2012, the margin of victory was just like 5 and 10 million votes, respectively.
Mm-hmm.
And all reputable researchers have said anywhere between 20 and 40 million Christians refused to show up in those times. And it's just amazing to recognize, and I say this rather frequently, that darkness is not an affirmative force. It's a passive force, but it simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light. And the point that I'm getting to is our country needing a miracle. I really, really believe what our country needs is for the body of Christ to have a revival.
Amen.
You know, not just the world, but in our churches.
Amen.
To where the body of Christ would wake up, because if we would show up, we would have a different outcome nationally.
You know, I was listening to a preacher this morning, Pastor Jeffers from First Baptist Dallas, and we don't minimize the importance of this election, but let us remember, and he was quoting, I think, Cal Thomas, who said, you know, the next president, Jesus Christ is not going to come riding in on Air Force One. And the point being that spiritual revival, far more important than what's going to happen in just a few weeks in our election. No question about it. All right, 888-589-8840. Time to have a listen to you and your miracles. Let's go first to, I believe it is Minnesota, and Mike. Mike, welcome to Miracle Monday. What is your story?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good to hear from you.
All right, good to hear you.
First time I ever got through. So.
All right, congratulations, Mike.
All right, brother. I got a good one for you. 2007, I contracted fungal pneumonia. I was severely ill. I was induced into a coma because it ran through my body rampant. And so I was in a coma for 7 weeks. And during that time, I lost my life twice, clinically died. I didn't realize how many people I had praying for me in the room, but there was a lot of people that were praying for me. Sorry if I get emotional. I'm still emotional to this day.
That's okay.
Because of it. That's because of it. During that time, I was visited by an angel, because I was praying quite a bit. I mean, a lot. I've always been a Christian, and I was praying a lot during my time when I was really severely ill before I was put into a coma. And the angel came and said, the Father has been hearing you, and you're going to be just fine. Keep talking to your Father. He's going to be just fine. You're going to be just fine. And those words stuck with me. And it was just really something. And there was one night, I'll never forget this night. It was 1 o'clock in the morning, dead on when I looked at the clock. And I my lungs started to collapse. And I was about ready to lose my breath and die again. I was within seconds. And I mustered all the strength I could do to push the button to get the nurse in there. And I know God gave me the power because I had no strength. I was dead out, dead gone, you know, because of that sickness just took a hold of me so bad. Mm-hmm. And the nurse came in and the respiratory nurse came in and she said, he's not breathing. He's got to get breath. And they were flying around all over the bed. And my breathing machine malfunctioned somehow. But I felt the darkness of Satan that night, and I felt the Lord in there at the same time. And God prevailed because Satan was defeated that night, because I'm here because of it.
All right, Mike, that is a terrific story. You said, when did this take place? What year was it?
This was 2007.
2007. Mike, tell us, what impact has your experience had on the rest of your life? What has happened since then?
Well, I tell you, you know, it's really made it hard to live on earth because of being touched by an angel, knowing that there's heaven out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's made it really tough to be on earth because I felt like I was shortchanged of a chance to come home, but I know that it's not my time yet.
That's right. And that's, you know, that's Mike, we appreciate your story. And Abe, you know, the reality is every day we are closer to death than what we think.
Yeah.
But I think Mike's story reminds us that life is very precious and that we ought to have that attitude. Tomorrow the Lord may call us home.
Mm-hmm.
It may be 5 years from now, but what we're doing today counts for the Lord.
Yeah.
It's about setting up priorities in our life, and Mike has had that incredible experience and the impact that it has had on his life.
Wow. And it just, his story just reminds me, because I say this often, not on the air as much, but I say this just in personal conversations, that we have lots of people who are professing Christians, but who practically live as if we are either agnostic or atheists, as if there is no God. And if we truly, truly understand and believe that eternal life is what awaits us, how then would we go about living our lives? How would we approach each day? How would we use our words and our gifts and our abilities and our opportunities? I really think that's something that I think is necessary to be recaptured by the body of Christ, to recognize that we're here on earth, but we're living in light of eternity.
Amen. Amen. Mike, once again, thank you so much for your story. All right, let's go to Ohio. And Bill is on the line. Bill, welcome to Miracle Monday. Tell us your story.
Oh, thank you. This is from quite a ways ago, probably 1972. And I was on my way to a Bible study, which I was teaching. It was way out in the country, and it was winter time, and there was ice and snow all over the place. And I was going down this country road, which was not very wide, and I noticed there was a very large gully on either side of the road. I mean, like 6 to 8 feet down. And I thought, well, boy, I better be careful with the ice and so on. And I was heading out, and I saw this car coming towards me, and then all of a sudden I realized we were coming up on a bridge, and the bridge was one lane only. It's only thick enough, wide enough for one car to get by. And the guy was coming fairly quick, and I think he, all of a sudden, he noticed it too. I swerved off to the right a little bit, and I knew I was losing it. The back wheels of the car were going over the gully, and he kept coming forward, so even if I had been on the road, I couldn't get across the bridge. And all of a sudden, the car just went right into position. I mean, it came right up, dead center on the road, the way I was going, and there was the little bridge. I went right over the bridge, and I thought, where in the world is the guy, you know, that was coming towards me? I look in my rearview mirror, and he's still going. He's going in the opposite direction of us. And there was just no way, you know, miracle is considered God intervening in the regular happenstance of life and overcoming the, it's a misnomer, but the laws of nature, because they're God's laws, and just intervening in that. And there was just no way physically that the car could have ever gotten up out of that gully. I mean, I was going over, and it just all of a sudden it just rocketed and went dead straight ahead across the bridge. And you know, it was obviously up the Lord, and I just thanked him. And
you're on your way to lead a Bible study, and God just took control of that car, put you back on the road. Amen.
Yes, if Bill. Hadn't, I don't know if I'd be here, but
yeah. You know. Amen, Bill. Thank you so much for your story. We appreciate that so much. And I'm just looking a couple of stories down. We're going to have another story about icy roads too. And I tell you what, once again, I think many times, and we're thankful we have calls like this who give God the credit. But I tell you, many times we pray for when we go on trips with our family and that sort of thing. Divine delays. You know, we might have a flat tire, Abe. And, you know, it's frustrating. Got to get out and change that tire. But I've said to my family many times, well, maybe God didn't want us at this point. Or you get down to a particular point in the road and you find that there was an accident there.
Yeah.
And God spared you from it.
Yeah.
God is in that business of taking care of his kids, folks. Reminder of that. Lisa in Ohio. Lisa, welcome to Miracle Monday. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for having me on. Probably the most, I guess the best way I can explain it is the most heart-wrenching and blessed story of my life is I did lose a son. But in that loss, such great miracles. He had a bone spur. He was in a car accident when he was 16 years old, and back always bothered him for years and years, and we could never find the problem. Well, at age about 31, the pain was so severe that we finally just took him in the hospital and said, look, we're not leaving until we figure this out, because his left leg was paralyzed. Well, come to find out, we was actually at OSU Hospital, and they did, it was a miracle they found it. It was a small bone spur that actually grew into his spinal cord. So I remember the doctor looking at us and saying, hey, you know, no, he is just has to be in severe pain. So anyhow, the doctor said, hey, look, you know, without doing the surgery, because the break was up high, he was going to be paralyzed from the neck down. With surgery, they told us probably still waist down. But we're a big prayer warrior family. Not only our family, but our church family came up, prayed over it, and the doctor came down and pulled me and his daddy and his wife in the room and said, he's going to be paralyzed from the waist down because they actually seen the spinal cord sever. So we prayed against that, and, you know, as a mother, I'm praying, but also I'm thinking, well, if this is the will of my father, then I'm building ramps in my head, and, you know, he's still going to have a quality and good life. Well, then about 3 hours later, he wants the whole family upstairs because he told us that, you know, it could be worse. You know, blood clots, different things can go wrong. So we go upstairs, and there's a few doctors standing there with their arms crossed and shaking their heads, and we're all confused and scared. And then the doctor says, look, I'm going to tell you something. He said, I've done hundreds of these surgeries, and he said, and I'm going to tell you right now, he said, I've never seen a miracle. And he said, I'm going to explain this to you. And he said, and the only thing that I can tell you is this is a miracle. He said, I'm going to show you a film where I saw the spinal cord sever. And that's when I came downstairs to tell you that your son was going to be paralyzed from the waist down. He said, now I'm going to show you a film. He said, when I went back upstairs to finish this surgery, he said the spinal cord was together.
Wow. Wow.
He said, now, he said, I can't explain this. I'm a doctor. That his exact words were this. I am a doctor. I am a doctor of science. And he said, but I can tell you right now, this is the first miracle I have ever seen.
Wow.
So, of course, we're delighted. We're jumping up and down. We go downstairs. There's, I'm not exaggerating, 40 people in the lobby. We're jumping up and down, praising God. And it was just such a miracle. So, anyhow, the doctor, over the next week, he kept coming into my son's room. He would stand over him as he slept and would just stare at him, shake his head. You know, and we know the miracle. We know it was God. And now this doctor is forced to look at himself and say, wow, you know, well, sadly, but true, my son did pass away on Christmas Eve, 2009. And but it was just difficulties from the surgery. But, and I always wondered, you know, why? You know, why did you show us that miracle? But yet my son, you still took him. And I've grown over these years to know he had to show me that miracle. He just didn't want to take my son. He wanted to show and build my faith and know that there's miracles.
Amen.
And that miracle wasn't just for me. That miracle was for that doctor.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, Lisa. We won't know until we get to eternity. But the impact, obviously, it had on that doctor. You know, God has his reasons for everything. And we don't know the impact that that had in the long term on that doctor. It had to. I mean, for him to declare, I'm a doctor of science. And I've done all kinds of these surgeries, and this is the first time I've seen a miracle. You bet it changed his life.
Well, and then another miracle for our family was on his deathbed, and we knew we were going to lose him. Mm. His daddy came to the Lord.
Mm. Yeah.
There you go.
And he's never looked back.
Yeah.
He's never looked back and said he's a man of God now.
Mm.
So my son's death was very painful, but the miracles that God put in front of us, I'll never forget.
Amen, Lisa. Thank you so much for sharing that, Lisa. God bless you and your family and that story. Wow. Abe. I mean, yes. You know, we have that perspective. It's a miracle. Yes, it is. God is in that business. But look what he did through that miracle. He took that young boy home eventually. But look what he did with that miracle, the impact it had on the doctor. It ended up in his dad getting saved on his deathbed. That's how God works sometimes. We don't like to lose loved ones, but God uses those losses in our lives many times for his purposes, his eternal purposes.
Yeah. Absolutely. And wow. Wow. That's really all I can say.
Amen. We got time for one more before I have to take a break. Let's go to Julian in Oklahoma. Julian, welcome to Miracle Monday. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. So this was 85 or so. The Lord had been made me with several names in that period. One particular story was I was on a business trip headed to the Oklahoma City airport, and it had snowed about a foot the night before, and I had a rental car, as was policy with the company, and unfamiliar. You know, the snow, the sun had come out, the snow was starting to melt on I-35, and I was headed south about to Guthrie, Oklahoma, and I'd been playing the radio, trying to keep the road in the middle and stay calm, and how slush tries to take you off the road, and I felt something to tell me to just turn off the radio and pray, and so I did, and just momentarily the car started to just fill up with a amazing glow, just filled everything I could sense. I could see nothing but just this radiant glow, and it's all I could even sense. And Harry was trying to keep it, you know, I didn't, who drove the car, I have no idea during this, but a voice came and said to me, not only have I forgiven your sins, I have forgotten them. You know, I didn't know what scripture that was until later. I found it in the Bible in Jeremiah 31:34. It's also in Psalms, and I think it's one other place in the scriptures. But the glow eventually dissipated, and somehow the car stayed miraculously on the road in that slush. I don't know, the God's miracle. He drove it for me while he delivered that message. And I cried all the way to the remaining half hour to the Oklahoma City airport. It was just how he met my needs. So I just wanted to share that with people.
Well, Julian, thank you so much. God does work in mysterious ways.
Certainly does.
Yeah.
Certainly does.
Taking opportunity like that to just show his greatness to us. And yes, he does forgive us our sins, and he forgets them too.
Amen.
Yeah. It's hard sometimes when we're talking about these things. God forget? God can't forget. But speaking figuratively there, he puts it behind him.
Absolutely.
And that is a great message in that miracle message. 888-589-8840. You're listening to Miracle Monday. Right here on Today's Issues, you're with Fred and Abe, sitting in for Tim and Ed today, who are at the Cove. And we have much more on the way of miracle stories coming up right after the break.
Next time on Today's Issues, we'll be joined by Dr. Ben Carson to talk about religious liberty and the upcoming Pensmore Symposium.
They'll find some way to destroy themselves, and it's maddening to see it happening.
We'll also talk with Craig and Madine Keener, co-authors of Impossible Love, and Dina Yowie, author of You Are Not Alone, That's next time on Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR.
One of the more emotional times on our tour of Israel is when we go to the house of Caiaphas. This is where Jesus Christ was held the night before his appearance before Pilate. And we see the dungeon where he was held. And it's just a very striking thing to be there knowing our Lord suffered in this way and was treated in this way. That's one of the places we'll visit is the house of Caiaphas, where the trial took place as well. Well, for more information on our tour of Israel and all the places we'll see and all the places we'll go, it's going to be a wonderful time with brothers and sisters from around the country. Our phone number is 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5 for more information. Or if you want to go on the internet, twholyland.com. Go to the website, twholyland.com. Come see the land of the Bible with us in March.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. Hillary Clinton's campaign manager smeared a large portion of the population the other day.
I think a lot of the people that stand by Donald Trump are deplorable, and the things that they say are deplorable.
That's Robbie Mook on NBC doubling down on his boss's assertion that many of Trump's supporters are homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic bigots who burn crosses and hate puppies. What the Clinton campaign is doing is not all that different than what President Obama did back in 2007. Remember the gun-toting, Bible-clinging, bitter American slur? Well, the fact of the matter is, all those deplorable people pay the bills in this country. All those deplorable Americans are the ones who pledge allegiance to the flag and stand for the national anthem and volunteer to wear the uniform of the United States military. So the next time Hillary or one of her minions wants to say something about all of us deplorable Americans, a simple thank you will suffice. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back to Miracle Mondays. Fred Jackson and Abraham Hamilton sitting in for Tim and Ed today as they're away most of this week enjoying the good preaching and other sessions at the Cove. It was sold out this year, Abe. Just amazing.
That's awesome.
Continues to be popular. And election issues might come up somewhere along the way. Do you think it might happen that way?
Maybe.
You never know. Yes, Miracle Mondays it is. We already heard some fascinating testimonies, folks. 888-589-8840. Let's continue on. We have a lot of stories to tell today. Let's go to Iowa. And Carol is on the line. Carol, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm glad to be on. Our family has experienced many, many miracles through the years, and I could go back and tell you about so many of them, but I love it when God continues to give us small miracles in daily life.
Mm-hmm.
Within the last 2 or 3 years, I'm up in my late 70s, and within the past 2-3 years, I've had 2-3 falls, and my family has been on the lookout for something better for me than my big split foyer home since my husband passed away 3 years ago. And so recently I had a fall backwards down the steps with a vacuum cleaner and had some adjustments to be worked on. And one day after we've been praying about my health, and one day when I was coming from a treatment, the secretary at that office asked me if I knew of anyone who needed an apartment, a ground floor apartment. And, of course, I thought of someone who was dear to me that might want that, and I spoke to that lady, but it wasn't for her. She wasn't ready to move. But when my sons heard that there was one available, they felt we all needed to look at it. There was something special about being able to step into that door. It was almost as if it lit up, and God was saying, hey, this is just for you. We decided as a family to go to prayer about it because we prayed about it, all the issues in our life. And so I called families out west, 3 of them and 2 families here, and we went to prayer overnight about whether I should take that apartment. When I went to sleep, I was praying, and I woke in the night, and it was as if it was written somewhere in the air, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed. The Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. And that verse just became full assurance for me that this is what I was supposed to do. Amen. And so the next day we let the people know that that was what, you know, we were going to plan on doing. We believe that God allowed that to happen and gave me that birth to assure me. God's word has been so great in our lives, and we trust it for guidance.
Amen, Carol. Amen. Thank you so much. You know, Abraham, this another example, and we've heard a couple of these already just today in the last half hour. Prayer. Praying about situations and how God moves and then gives that solution that we're looking for.
Absolutely.
You know, that's God's way of, first of all, it's acknowledging in our prayer that we need it.
Yes.
We need God's direction.
Yeah.
Instead of heading out and impulsively doing something, stop and pray. And then God, because we stop and acknowledge him, and that's a way of praising him, that he answers that prayer. And sometimes the answer is, just as our caller said, is a yes, here's a very obvious move into this apartment. Sometimes the answer may be no. The answer may have come back, no, the apartment's already been taken. So that's an answer from the Lord too. So when we bathe things in prayer, we don't need to be dismayed by the outcome, because God, whether he shuts that door or opens that door, he's answering that prayer.
Amen. And I love the last caller's ability to focus us in on, when we say miracles, it doesn't have to always be this, you know, this big grandiose display.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I think it's incumbent upon us as believers to look expectantly for God to operate in our day-to-day lives and regular affairs. And when we do so, it helps us to cultivate a warmness in our hearts toward the Lord, to where I often pray, Lord, help me not to miss your miracles.
Amen.
To miss the things that may seem routine.
Yeah.
That may seem monotonous. And then the other thing, and you hit it right on the head, one of the most egregious demonstrations of pride in the life of a believer is prayerlessness.
Yes.
Because we go about our lives as if we don't need him.
Yeah.
You know, so thank you for that call and that testimony. It's encouraging, I'm sure, to all of our listeners, and it's encouraging me right here in the studio.
Thank you for being a blessing. Let's continue to get blessings today from these callers. Jeff in Arkansas, welcome to Miracle Monday. Go ahead.
How you doing this morning?
We're doing just fantastic. We're blessed.
Okay, so am I. Approximately 7 years ago, I was driving a semi down the road, and I was coming around the curve, and the load shifted, and the truck actually tipped over on its side. Well, it totaled the truck and trailer out, and it knocked me unconscious. All I can remember is when I left my destination and waking up in the hospital. And they told me, you know, what had happened. Of course, my first thing was anybody else involved, because I didn't know where it happened or anything else. And they said, no, it was just, you know, just me. Well, during this whole time, I was listening to some Christian music, and it was either Casting Crown or Third Day. I can't remember, but there's a song. One of them sings that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Keep holding on. Well, that just played over and over and over, and that's the only thing I can remember of the whole accident. And to this day, 7 years later, I still don't remember nothing about the accident other than where it happened, you know, because I seen the skid marks. The only thing that ended up happening to me was I was just knocked unconscious, and I had double vision for a while, and that was all.
And you've been repaired from that, too?
Yes.
Amen. Thank you so much, Jeff. And it kind of goes, Abe, to what you're saying. These things happen on a daily basis. Never take these things for granted. God's hand is upon us, and especially when we are depending on him on a regular basis and acknowledging him. Pat, I'm not sure we're going to Texas next. No, we'll go to Pat. Pat, go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Pat.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing well. Go ahead. Tell us your story.
Okay. So this is a little while back, maybe 8 or 9 years ago. But before I had, before I was born again, I was I was exposed to pornography when I was about 9 years old.
Okay.
And that was something that kind of immediately took hold in my life. Mm-hmm. And it was something that I looked at. I would say I was addicted to it. Mm-hmm. And then also, when I was a few years later, I had entered into a lesbian relationship. And we were definitely in a full-blown relationship for maybe 4 or 5 years. And I was going in that direction. I thought I was going to marry her. And then the Lord, I started to seek God, and I know it was by His grace, and He showed me that that He is true and His word is true. And He just started to reveal Himself to me during this time. And so it was, I guess, a year or two after I had been born again. But I had struggled. When I had entered into pornography, and this is embarrassing, but I had this habit, too, of every, you know, it was almost every day, but it would, you know, have to touch myself, and that kind of goes with it. it was something I could not stop. Even after I had become a Christian, I would even, like, I would fight it with the word, and I would fight it, and I'd come against it with scripture, and I would try and fill my mind with His word and His, and praise Him, and sometimes it would be, like, I'd be up to, like, 3 or 4 in the morning, just like, no, I'm not, I don't want to sin against God in this way, because my mind would be just with these thoughts, even though at that point I had stopped looking at new things. I still had all these images. Mm-hmm. And so I started talking to my pastor about it. And so I'm going to fast forward to this is like the most amazing thing that's ever happened to me as a Christian. And I realized there's a lot of crazy things out there that I think that there's a lot of fake out there too. And so I'm going to acknowledge that for people who might not believe in this. We were praying in his office with another friend of mine and just casting out a demon of lust. And I was sitting in the chair, and all of a sudden my pelvic area started just like up and down, up and down, up and down, and I could not
control. I appreciate Pat's story, and pornography is difficult, but we have to have limit sometimes the graphic nature of what is going on. But you know, addictions of any type, mm-hmm. Abe, are difficult, and Christians, as our caller was telling us, even after they accept the Lord as their Savior, you know, everything doesn't get corrected right away.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what our caller was alluding to is that through prayer, God can deliver us mm-hmm. even from these strong addictions.
And I think it's in one of the observations that I think that can be gleaned from this is most of the times when the topic of pornography is discussed, it's centers on guys dealing with it. And that is a fact. But women are often ensnared by it too.
Yes.
And so that is a reality that we face in our, because to be frank, our culture, we have a pornographic culture. And because there are images and things that are, you know, all over the place, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes we become desensitized mm-hmm. to what I would call infringements upon our eyes.
Yes.
Thank you so much for that call. Mm-hmm. But God is still in the business of delivering from addictions of all sorts, amen. Including pornography.
Amen. To Tennessee and Billy. Billy, welcome to Miracle Monday. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How are y'all doing today?
We're doing really well.
I'm glad to hear it. I wanted to share a miracle that happened with my son this past Easter Sunday. He and his cousin were back behind my mom's house, and they had gone up to a quarry ledge, and the ground gave way underneath my son, and he fell 50 feet And he suffered a traumatic brain injury. He broke both of his arms in the fall. He went into the water. He was able to pull himself out of the water. My nephew went running back to where my family was at, and he said after, you know, he was telling us what happened, he was praying the whole way back to them. They were praying the whole way back to where he had fallen at. My brother, my niece, and my brother-in-law were the first three people to get to him, and they all three have medical training, but they had to have a boat to get to him because of where he had fallen on the quarry, and there was a rowboat there at the quarry. The ambulance was 25 minutes late getting to him. Because once they got into the area, they were trying to go to a different quarry. They kept driving back and forth, and my brother could hear the sirens, and he said it was about 25 minutes. But they showed up. They got him loaded up. They started out to Vanderbilt in Nashville, and the EMT that was in the back told me this after the fact as well, that they started losing him at Dixon, Tennessee. So they were able to stop at Dixon, get him an emergency airway, and then back on the way to Vanderbilt. But had the ambulance showed up on time right away, they would have been 25 minutes in between the two hospitals with no airway, and he would have probably died in the ambulance. He got to Vanderbilt. They started doing surgery on him, and the doctors were telling us, you know, just, oh, it's doom and gloom. He's never going to be the same. He'll never be able to do this. He won't remember anything for days to possible weeks. And a month to the day, he walked out of the hospital. He remembers everything except for the walk to the quarry ledge. He's a drummer for the local high school band. He picked the drums right back up. Still going at it. The only thing, you know, other than the scars from the surgery, he's got a little bit of an issue with one of his eyes. But other than that, he's, you know, when I got the phone call I was working today, and I got the phone call he had fallen and he was in really bad shape. I mean, I ran out the door. The first thing that was, God, please don't take my son. He just, you know, he had people praying for him, and just the way the whole scenario played out, nobody can tell me God didn't have him in his hands the entire time.
That's right. Billy, what's your son's name?
Christian.
Christian. All right. Well, Christian is one Christian that is blessed.
Praise
and so,
God.
And so is Dad, Billy. Hey, Billy, thank you for your story so much. We appreciate it. You know, God can take the worst Abe diagnosis and he can turn it all around.
Absolutely.
He's in that business.
Absolutely.
What a wonderful story. Two lives and a whole family's life just blessed by what happened that day. Indiana and Darian. Darian, welcome to Miracle Monday. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate you guys and your service for our Lord.
Thank you, sir.
My story, I'm a local pastor, and we had last year in our prayer group of praying pastors, we got word of a revival going on in a community just north of us a little ways, and so we went up, and it was about 90 days into this revival, and they'd been meeting daily, and we just saw a lot of miraculous things happen. Number one, you had 5,000 to 6,000 people meeting daily in a very small community, and it was a diverse mixture. You had Baptist, Methodist, non-denominational, as well as Amish and Mennonite and the Charismatics, all in one group, praising the Lord. And daily, they had hundreds of people going out into the streets to witness and share the gospel and pray with people.
Wow, that's wonderful.
So we got wind of that, and some pastor friends, we went up and saw it. And we came back, and I mean, of course, we were praying that such a thing would happen in our community, and it did. The evangelist came down to our area and led a 1 week of meetings, and we had about 2,000 people coming out daily for that, and as well sending out teams to share the gospel. But the miracle part is one, just the different groups coming together. But the miracle I wanted to share is right when he got there, we had heard what was happening where he came from, that businesses were opening up their doors and asking the evangelists to come in and share the gospel with employees.
Wow.
And just a lot of salvation stories. And we're like, wow, we wish that would happen in our community.
So, how rare that is.
Yeah. And so we started praying for that. And just being honest, most people really didn't think, we were asking for the largest employer in our community, which is one of the top three domestic U.S. auto manufacturers. One of the big three.
So it has to be Chrysler, GM, or Ford, right?
Right. And they have three plants, big plants in our community. And we were praying for that specific opportunity. And I couldn't believe, it was amazing. In the middle of a pastor's meeting, we had a meeting together. We were praying. It was about noon. And we had 30, 40 pastors gathered praying. And we got word in that meeting that, hey, this manufacturer has opened up their doors, and they want Christians to come in. They're going to allow Christians to come in and minister to their employees.
Praise God.
Wow.
So I got to go on one of these teams, and we went in to this factory, and they allowed us to come in. And you had hundreds of Christians that signed up to go in on shifts around the clock for I don't even know how long it went on, but they allowed Christians, not even just employees, but Christians just to come in, minister to their employees, pray for them, and share the gospel if you had the chance.
So this happen on a lunch hour in one day. I think if I'm understanding you, this transpired over at least a whole day or a couple of days?
Oh, a week.
A week?
A week or two. Weeks.
Wow.
Because they let us go in 24/7 to cover all the shifts of the factory, because it's open, three shifts. It's open all the time. And so we would go in at night and day, and they had different teams scheduled to go in so that they could cover and make sure they had an opportunity to minister to all the employees.
All right, Darren. So were you allowed to walk up to the employees on the line, or did you meet in the lunchrooms, or how did this work?
Mostly we were in the lunchrooms, but they allowed employees of the corporation. If you're with an employee, you could actually go out on the line and talk to people.
Wow.
And we brought in New Testaments, so we were passing out New Testaments and making those available. I'm telling you, it blew my mind on what God is capable of doing in a community if we will trust him.
All right, Darren, when did this happen, Darren?
It was last year.
Last year. You see, Abe,
yeah.
I'm in the news business. We get all the negative stories, but thank God, Darren.
Thank you so much.
So this can still happen. You pray about it, and then God opens the door at this major automaker. I have it on my screen, folks, but Darren doesn't want to mention it, so I'll respect that. But one of the big three opens up the doors at this factory for Christians to go in, witness in the lunchroom, and then Christian employees at this auto manufacturer allowed to talk to their friends on the line.
And you notice how it happened, that the Spirit of God broke out in the churches.
Yes.
And it caused it to leak out into the business world.
Wow.
You know, it's this kind of stuff, lights my fire. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't hear these things in the media. You
No.
certainly don't hear it in the mainstream media.
No.
Which is all the reason why, we want to keep American Family Radio vibrant.
Mm-hmm.
But this should be an encouragement to every one of our listeners. To let us know God's arms have not waxed short in our day. The things we've read about, the things we see, these things are still able to happen right now.
Yeah.
If you didn't hear Darren, just call and say, hey, man, by the way, just the Spirit of God broke out in this small town where you had thousands of people coming out daily from all of these diverse backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
That alone, you would have said, no way.
Yeah.
Then not only that, it opened up to where a big three automaker says, hey, man, we need this Jesus you guys are talking about.
Yeah.
Come into our business, and you preach it to our employees.
Wow.
That's the kind of God we serve. And I need to stop talking because I might start preaching.
Hey, listen, we're celebrating here. Darren,
glory.
What a wonderful, wonderful story. And the ACLU couldn't do a thing to stop it. I love it. Darian, Pastor Darian, thank you so much for that. That is an incredible story. I think we got time for one more, do we, guys? Let's get one more in. Let's go to Mississippi and Terry on the line. Go ahead, Terry. We got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes.
Let me just tell you, I was paralyzed by fear this whole day of what, I didn't know what it was, but I felt an ominous fear. My wife had felt the same thing, but she was praying for me. She didn't know what it was. And we had a new family that was visiting our church. I pastored a church in Mississippi. And so I was going that night to witness to the family and try to tell them about Christ. And now I can't explain this. I don't know if it was psychological, if it was just the devil. I can't explain what was causing it. If I'm mental or what, I can't say what it was. But I was gripped by fear on that trip, and I can't explain this. Like I say, and some people think I'm off my rocker. But on the way there, it's like a power gripped my steering wheel, and like it wanted to pull me to the right. And it was just, I can't say if it was me, I can't say if it was the devil, I can't say what it was. But my wife had felt, and she'd been praying for me all day, but she didn't tell me about it. Well, I couldn't think of anything, but I started singing, "Are You Washed in the Blood?" And when I, it's like the moment I began to sing that song, the fear went away, and that whatever force I felt like trying to pull my car into the creek or the channel, it just went away. I got to that house, make a long story short, and four of the five family members came to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. And so you know, I want to challenge people, don't let fear stop you from doing what the Lord has on your heart. Mm. No matter what, just let the Lord take control and press through and give him the glory for what he does. And that's what I wanted to share. Mm.
Terry, that is a wonderful, wonderful way to end our stories, our Miracle Monday stories today. Thank you so much. We appreciate that, Pastor Terry from Mississippi. I know it's amazing, and there is a... there's a bit of a pattern here, Abraham, that we've been hearing all day today. It is about prayer, about God intervening, and God overcoming what some people might call natural forces, whatever the case may be. But when God intervenes, when we surrender ourselves and say, "God, your will be done." Being specific, though, "God, help me through this," whether it's fear or whether it's an addiction or whatever the case may be, that God is listening, and he does answer that prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, he's still in the miracle business.
Amen. Amen. And it is having that willingness and that heart to yield to God's leadership that sets the stage for us to be able to share in what he's doing in our lives. You know, just as Pastor Terry just shared, pressing beyond that initial presentation of fear resulted in four people being brought into God's family through salvation. So,
yeah.
Glory to our King.
Amen.
Glory to our King.
Amen. Miracle Monday. Thank you so much, folks, for your stories. And Lord willing, the next Miracle Monday, if you didn't get through today, keep us in mind. I tell you what, thank you, callers, for being a blessing to us today. I'm still blown away by that story from Indiana.
So am I.
That's one to remember. We're back right after the news, and we're going to have a guest on. And this is breaking news, folks. This is breaking news. You'll get the details after the newscast. Boys are different from girls. All right? Breaking news. We'll explain it to you as soon as we come back. You'll have much more of today's issues with Fred and Abe sitting in for Tim and Ed today. Today's issues on a Monday.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.